Dear God, thank you so much, Father, for this morning. Father, thank you so much, Father, for getting us up this morning and getting us here safely. Thank you so much, Father, for your word, God, that is true, that is right. Thank you so much for the family of believers. God, I just pray, God, that as you use me to teach this class this morning, Father, that you will speak through me. And God, that your name will be lifted up and glorified. Father, I want to continue to keep Andy Van Buren in our prayers this morning, that he is very, very sick with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. God, I know that they're having a special service for him over in Athens as we speak. God, I just pray that as a body of believers that we can lift him and his family up during this time. God, we love you so much, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Turn your Bibles. We're going to continue with Galatians. So if you can turn over to Galatians chapter 1. Last week, I know Gary talked about the autobiography of Paul's life. And this morning, we're going to look at some lessons that we, as a body of believers, can learn from the life of Paul in Galatians chapter 1 and chapter 2 through verse 14. Life is a lot about lessons. I know that today is a big day. It's Super Bowl Sunday. And we all have our favorites. There's going to be some lessons learned this afternoon. And hopefully there were some lessons learned from last week's ice storm. You know, that our local and state officials kind of learned some things that is so that we can be better prepared for the next storm. We're going to start reading in Galatians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 11. It says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. And I just want to stop there because Paul did not hear about Jesus from someone else. Paul did not even learn about Jesus from the other apostles. Instead, Jesus himself appeared to Paul. Turn over with me. Keep your place in Galatians. We're going to turn over to Acts chapter 9. We're going to start in verse 1. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. And for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house on Judah on Straight Street and ask for the man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying." In a vision, he had seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see nothing. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. This is an amazing conversion story. Ananias was terrified to approach Saul because he had heard about him. But God had told Ananias, "Hey, listen, you need to go because this man is my chosen instrument." When Paul taught the good news, he was not merely discussing his opinions. And that's a lesson for us. You know, as we go out and share the good news, it should not be so much more of our opinions. It should be what the Word of God says. Paul himself would have never believed in Jesus if he had merely listened to people's opinion. Because Paul was well educated, he knew a lot. And there was a reason why God put it in the Bible that none of the apostles taught Paul about Jesus. Because God knew that it was going to take Jesus himself to teach him. Paul was not trying to win a popularity contest. He spoke the truth. The man or woman that stands for the truth will never be popular. God's word has a way of dividing the crowd. When we're speaking God's word, it will divide the crowd. Turn back over to Galatians. Because in verse 12, chapter 1, it says, "I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ." Paul was seeking to please God with his life. And that should be a lesson for each and every one of us. Paul said if he pleased man, he would have not been a servant of the Lord. Paul was a Christian because Jesus showed him these things. So why are we staying faithful? Why are we still in the fight? It needs to be because of our love for God.
That's right. Amen.
in our convictions about God's word. So there's a couple lessons that we need to learn. As I said, Paul said he didn't receive it from a man. He received it from a revelation from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to study the Bible daily to get our own convictions. The Bible, and I spoke about this last week, the Bible says we have to train ourselves to be godly. Satan is out there just waiting for us not to get our own convictions from his word. Because if we continue to look at man and what man says or does, eventually Satan will take us out. Keep your place there. Let's look at Acts chapter 17. It's a familiar passage to us. Acts 17, we're going to start reading in verse 10. As soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. As a result, many of them believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and Greek men. See, the word of God will give us the convictions we need to finish this race. It says the Bereans were of more noble character. Would Jesus say that about us? That's the lesson that we could take from that we need to be Bereans. We've had Sunday school class after Sunday school class after Sunday school class. But if we're not taking what we're hearing and the scriptures that are being given to us and going back and studying it out for ourselves, then we are depending on man. I think, and I'm just throwing this out there because I do have the mic, I think some of us, we become lazy in studying out God's word. We want to be spoon-fed on Sundays and Thursdays. And the rest of the week, we're just not getting that full course meal that we need in order to survive in this world. We cannot become lazy. And then there's some of us, and I'm just throwing it out there, that we become lazy in just not studying out issues that we're having in our lives. But we would rather go to someone else to get some advice. And we need to study it out for ourselves and gain our own convictions about situations in our lives. We have a few Bible studies going on, and that's a good thing. Amen? Amen? And there's times where I've been in Bible studies where I've done more talking than I've allowed God's word to do. And I think that's a great lesson for all of us, that we need to put the Bible in front of whoever we're studying with, and let them gain their own convictions. Amen. Let them read it again and again and again. Amen. Because it's not us who convert people, it's the Word of God. Right. We're not Christians because we believed in other people. We're Christians because we believe in the Word of God. So where are we getting our faith from this morning? Where are we getting our conviction from? Let's go back to Galatians. We're going to start reading in verse 15. He says, "But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb, called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I may preach him amongst the Gentiles." And I'll stop there. That really encouraged me as I was reading that, because as a Christian, God is pleased with us. And there are days that, you know, we feel like, man, God is not pleased with me. And we need to understand that Satan continues to throw those flaming arrows at us daily, trying to convince us that we are unworthy, that we are not right with God. But God is pleased with us. We have been set apart from birth. And those of us that are baptized disciples of Jesus Christ, we responded to his word. Hold your place there. We're going to move around. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 1. I'm going to start reading in verse 4. It says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." That's encouraging to know that we have been set apart. And I think that there's a lesson in that as well, that as Paul, he was very versed in the Bible and the scriptures. He was well educated. He knew a lot. But from my research, I think that Paul was converted when he was probably 30 or older. And sometimes I think that we kind of get discouraged when our loved ones don't respond to God's word. We should not despair when our loved ones choose to live their lives to please the world rather than to please God. Because God says he determines the time and the places. Maybe they were once disciples and they fell away. Or perhaps they've yet to give their life to God. It doesn't matter, because everything is possible with God. In church, we need to remember that. We need to believe that. And we need to trust that God is in total control of all things. As a disciple of Jesus, no matter what your past was like, he was pleased to reveal himself to you. I love that. No matter what your past was like. Let's go back to Galatians. Galatians chapter 2, We're going to just jump around a little bit here. Let's start reading in verse 6. As for those who were held in high esteem, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism. Amen. They add nothing to my message. On the contrary, they recognized that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter has been to the circumcised. For God, who was at work in Peter as an apostle to the circumcised, was also at work in me as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Cephas, and John, those esteemed as pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. Paul shows us that he was not impressed with men in their positions. And a lesson for us, you know, I think as humans, that can happen very often on our jobs, wherever we're at school. It's good that people are in positions to help us, but we shouldn't put everything that we have at those individuals and thinking that they can help us. We shouldn't be that impressed with those individuals. Hold your places there. We're going to move over to 1 Samuel 16. Got a lot of scripture this morning.
Amen.
This is when Samuel was anointing David. And Samuel was bringing all these individuals up. In verse 7, the Bible says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for the Lord have rejected him.' The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart."
Amen.
And as disciples, that's a great lesson for us. We should not be impressed with the outer appearance of people, the things that they have, the positions that they hold. Our duty before God is to present the gospel to them. And that will show us their hearts for God. Go back over to Galatians. I'll read the bottom of verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "They agreed we should go to the Gentiles and they should go to the circumcised." In verse 10, it says, "All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I had been eager to do all along." That was a very, very important part of Paul's ministry, the poor. And I think as a church, we need to make it a very, very important part of our ministry.
Amen.
I know that this year we are trying to raise $100,000 for missions. And God can do that. We have brothers like Danny Emmett that goes downtown to feed the poor. We need to make that a priority in our lives. We need to understand that God has assigned us certain roles in the ministry, and if every part is doing its work, the gospel will be heard throughout Gwinnett County. Helping the poor is important. Turn over to Acts chapter 11. Verse 29. It says, the disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judah. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Paul. And as a church, we need to get behind giving to missions. As each of us are able to do. Providing help to those not only in other countries, but right here in Gwinnett County. There are so many needs right here in Gwinnett County. We need more individuals looking for needs here in Gwinnett County, so as a church, we can meet those needs.
Amen.
Let's turn back over to Galatians. Start reading chapter 2, verse 11. It says, when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles, because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcised group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile, and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? This verse to me shows that even important leaders behave in the wrong way. We all make mistakes. We all are sinful in one way or another, and we all make mistakes. Peter did not just make a mistake. He chose to act against the truth on purpose. He tried to protect himself. Instead, he should have tried to protect God's truth.
Amen.
He withdrew himself. And we know that there are preachers out there today that are acting like this. They don't always agree with the church, but they must abide by what they say, or they might be thrown out of the church. There's some churches that are out here. Or they are afraid to preach certain sermons from the pulpit for fear of upsetting some church members. And church, you know that's not going to happen here, right? In the future, we may see the government telling church leaders what to preach or what they cannot preach. And if the church goes against what the government says, they may lose their tax exempt status and pay more taxes. The government is big these days. When we disagree with someone in the church, do we go to that person? In this situation, from what I gathered, this situation was really influencing the entire church. It was harming the entire church. And Peter had no way of helping him. Paul had no way of helping Peter other than telling everyone about Peter's error. But in the church, the Bible talks about in Matthew 18:15, that if your brother sins against you, you do what? You go to your brother or you go to your sister. But what happens more often is that this person gets mad at that person. It could either be a church member or a fellow brother and sister in Christ. The person who gets mad picks up the phone and begins to call sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. And we do not adhere to what the Bible says. As disciples, we need to practice Matthew 18:15. We cannot get caught up in gossip and resentment and being bitter. You know, and I know that in a church this size, there's relationships that probably need to be mended today. And we need to love each other enough to go and talk things out. Amen. The Apostle Paul got very upset with Peter. He was upset because Peter had not acted as he should. Paul, however, did not run around telling this one and that one about it. He wanted to say what he wanted to say about Peter. He said to Peter. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to take that to heart. Let's look back over to Galatians. In verse 18, chapter 1, I'm bouncing around a little bit here. It says, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas, and stayed with him 15 days, and I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Then down in verse 23, it says, they only heard the report that the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praise God because of me. And as disciples, as I said before, some of us have things that we've done in the past that were just not good. And we go back home to our family and friends, and they're in shock. They're like, man, what? Mike, you became a Christian? You changed? And at first, they don't believe you. They become very standoffish. They'll start spreading rumors. And before you know it, you feel like you're isolated. It could be family. It could be friends. It could be coworkers. But we need to understand that after a while, if we stand firm with our convictions, that people will eventually start praising God because of our lives. And the longer that we're Christians, the stronger our conviction should be. I want to make another point as far as Paul confronting Peter. Not everything someone does needs to be a big confrontation.
Amen.
There's a time and a place for everything. I know in the past, I know for me, just one example, I used to be in the CR ministry. I graduated from CR with the addiction of with drugs and things of that nature. And there was one Saturday, I was living down in Jonesboro, and the group met in Marietta. And there were about four brothers that were traveling every Saturday from Jonesboro to Marietta. And so I decided to be like Peter. I went into the group, and I walked up to Sonny Sessions in front of the entire group and said, "Hey, bro, you know, it's not fair for us to have to travel to Marietta every Saturday. Why don't we just bring the group down to Jonesboro every now and then?" That did not go over well. I love Sonny. He's one of my heroes in the faith. But he looked right at me in front of everyone and said, "I bet you if there was some crack cocaine in Marietta on Saturday morning, you wouldn't have a problem with that." And I was completely humbled. And that trip never bothered me again. But he felt the need to confront me on that, because this was something that the church decided to do to help men and women like me. But I came across as being ungrateful. So as I said, there is a time and a place for everything. So in closing, we need to look at Paul's life and imitate his love and faith in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Next week, Gary's going to pick up in Galatians chapter 3. So that's the homework. We're going to start reading Galatians 3, 1 through 14. When he's going to talk about faith and observation of the law. Thank you for your time, and go get your kids.